All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I hate to break the fishing news after Ramchuk, but I'd like to speak about the ice hockey.
Congratulations, you're one of the 13 listeners of the Real Life Podcast.
We just traded a migraine in for like an orgasm.
Might want to mark that down, Ramchuk.
Yep. All of my projects are on schedule until they're not.
A member of the Nation Network of Podcasts.
About as funny as we're going to get today.
Episode 299 of the Real Life Podcast. We are very close to episode 300. Very close.
I'm Tyler Ramchuk.
How close?
One away.
Oh, that is close.
He's Jay. Nice. That's Bag Milk. Juan is here. Chalmers busy in his office doing business-like things. Frank in the background as well, as he often is. Episode 299 is brought to you by the HGA Group, as they all are now, because we love the HGA Group very much. This is my last podcast before I go on vacation, so you best believe I'm already mentally checked out. But how's everybody doing? What do we got?
How mean can we be to Liam when he comes in the shower? Do we have to be nice?
You have to be nice to Liam. Also, Bag Milk, I need to send you the ad stuff. I don't know why I'm saying that right now, but I need to remember to do that.
This is real life. Got to speak. Speaking about ad stuff, we have to, I think we now can launch our new intros.
Are they ready?
Can we?
Yep.
So can I play it now? Like, you want me to redo the podcast with the new intro? Like
I want to hear it. I want to hear it for the first time. Let's go.
It kind of has to be done because he's not going to be here for a week. So
double,
we can't start it without him.
All right, so, new intro. Real Life Monday, dropping hot. Coming at
you. You guys got to. Oh, that was a good radio voice. You guys got to give me like a second here, though. Well, because I didn't upload it.
While you're figuring your shit out, I'll let you know, people know what HGA is doing. HGA is become the title sponsor of our golf tournament.
Shoo.
They are insuring a hole in one for us for 25,000 clams.
Boom.
And they got some other things that they're working on. So they're getting heavily involved in the Nation Golf Tournament. So that's very exciting.
Chalmers.
Yes.
If you got your ace, your first ace, I can't think of a more deserving man at the Nation Tournament, and you won the 20G from HGA, what would you do with the dough?
What would I do with the 25,000?
Yeah. Don't you say an RRSP.
Nah, first things first. I'd probably give 5G to Gregor's grads.
Well, that's
a little charity.
Would you get diamond earrings back and get two of them?
Oh, yeah. I get my wife's matching pair. Oh, hell yeah. My holes are still kind of there.
Why not resurrect your past and buy a CRX?
Oh, huge play.
I definitely take $5,000 and I would probably take like me, my wife, and like two other couples to like a quick jaunt to Vegas or something. Maybe like four of couples all together. I've always wanted to do that. No matter what sum of money, I've always wanted to just like tell everybody, stop what you're doing. We're just going to go to Vegas and just blow a bunch of cash for like 2 days.
Oh, that's that's awesome.
And then
you
and
just
then
won 25 grand and spent 100 grand. And the rest, what the fuck? You spent that money. I don't know. I guess I buy a jet.
I was going to say, the rest of you just get a. I would get a tank of gas in my Ford F-150. That's what
I don't
do.
Even know if 25K can get you a full tank of gas right now in a Ford F-150.
Well, hey, Wanye, I played golf. I played golf on, was that Thursday we played, JR?
Friday.
And I missed the hole. I landed about 6 inches away from one of the holes.
Six inches?
Rolled to about a foot past. Yeah, dude.
When you get your ace, because I feel like you're tracking.
I hope so.
Sure, somebody fucking videos it.
How it nobody?
The first thing you say. The first thing you say when it goes in is, "Bitch, start the camera to whoever the closest person is next to you, and then let's see what you've got in you for celebrating."
I think you just need to make your buddies film every shot on a par three going forward.
Yeah.
Imagine, Chalmers, imagine you got an 11.
People to play golf with straight up if I start doing that. I won't be invited to any tea times. If there's
imagine you got it on
water,
11, Chalmers, and you just grabbed an old lady off the tee and just threw her in the ravine as your celebration.
If there's water on the hole, I will dive in. If there is a drink in my cup, it will be gone.
I will tunnel in the sand trap.
A lot of things will happen. Yes. Anyways.
Big tournament. Thank you, HGA.
Yes.
I'm excited. And by the way, you can bid to golf with myself, Chalmers, and Jay at the Oilers Nation Open. And by doing, or if you want to do that, you got to hit up our DMs on Twitter or Instagram. The full package, if you've missed it on the last few podcasts, you can get all the details at nationgear.ca. But it's a round of golf out at Cougar Creek. Transportation to and from the pint. We load up a bus, we go to Cougar Creek, we play our golf. There's a ton of vendors and giveaways on all the holes. It's fantastic. You get dinner after as well, and a good time on top of that. If you want to golf with us and have your, it's a twosome, so you and a buddy golfing with the three of us, so right now the winning bid is $600, and it is for a gentleman on Twitter who goes by
don't
the name.
Say
oh,
it.
No, don't say it.
Okay.
Don't say it.
We announced the winners.
Yep.
Well, to spice it up a little bit, and you know, it's all about perception here, perceived value, but we'll throw in some Nation gear for the two lucky winners too in your sizes.
And Chalmers is buying you drinks. Come on.
And he's taking you to Vegas if he gets
whether
a
whether it's
one.
Gatorade or chocolate milk, he will buy it for you. Whatever your drink of choice is.
No, you drink what I drink.
Yeah, rubbing alcohol.
Exactly.
Real moonshine.
Real
rum moonshine. With a misting of Coke on top as mix.
No, I'm not a rum guy. I'm a rye guy.
I know. But with a misting of Coke.
Yeah, speaking just a little of spritz for color.
Chalmers, I could no sooner forget you drink rye than forget that you like what you look like. It's key to your identity.
Yes, that's true. What were you going to say about moonshine, Jared?
Oh, speaking of, I was in Nashville. I wasn't say visiting a buddy, but I was with a buddy, and somehow we ended up at. Anyways, we ended up at this like rooftop apartment where it was there. I was like kind of like a pool party, and it was like a lawyer party, and like everywhere in Nashville, everyone makes their own Fireball whiskey, or everyone makes moonshine because that's like shine country. So they had this like apple moonshine that they're going around and sharing with everyone, but they're like, you got to be careful. It's really high potency and you're drinking it and it tasted so good.
Like apple pie.
And I had maybe two swigs of it. And like 20 minutes later, I could see through time.
Wow.
I was like, when we used to get Swish barrels, did you guys ever buy Swish barrels?
I've had someone I knew made Swish once upon a time.
They were
remember the time, Jay, we were going to Nashville and we were drunk on moonshine and then we tried to order burgers from White Castle, and all they gave us was chicken fries.
Yeah, that was great.
Rude.
And then like we were all jammed in like a van cab and we were like 2 minutes away in the drive-thru when we realized we got like 30 orders of chicken fries instead of burgers. It was a dark damn day being on moonshine and getting all them chicken fries.
Bag milk, what were you saying?
I don't remember. Something about Swish barrels. Oh, yeah.
Think about chicken fries now? Makes sense.
Nah, kind of a little bit. I would love some chicken fries. Think
no,
about
they're
Swish
disgusting.
Barrels was. Really? They sound great.
Oh, they're awesome.
Wow, not that many bags, maybe.
the thing about the Swish barrels, from what I can remember, is it didn't taste good, like Jay's experience. However, the potency was there, and all of a sudden, you too could see through time.
You're swishing. Just,
swishing, you gotta watch out. Can you get wood alcohol poisoning from Swish?
Probably.
If you're fucking around, getting huge, Chalmers.
Wood alcohol poisoning?
Yeah, because there's like, Swish is like the barrel of booze, right? That gets the water
swished
around.
You just
add
a bunch of water, and you got a mixer up.
And like wood in too much, it like releases some sort of poison into Swish. Where if you swish it around too much and try and get too much at the end, you can get wood alcohol poisoning.
Oh.
Whoa, oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
That sounds Chalmers. Learned some today.
We're learning.
Have you even been in the mountains of Appalachia?
No, the Appalachian Trail. Are you talking like the Alps and like in Asia?
No, Appalachians is like southern U.S. States.
Yeah,
where everybody makes moonshine and shoots their neighbors barefoot.
So if you look in the Appalachian Mountains and you see a puff of smoke, that's a moonshine still that just spontaneously combusted.
Yeah, is that along some point or most of the Appalachian Trail?
I think
it's,
so.
It's along the Appalachian Trail. Yes, sure.
You don't know that.
Well, you don't know either.
Does your Remchuk want to just start the opening? He's just.
Did we buy you enough time, your Remchuk?
Oh yeah, yeah. Before we kill each other, four minutes ago. Yeah, yeah. Oh, good.
Let's go.
So
get it.
I actually got three intros made, so I'm gonna play one now, and then when I come back, I'll debut the other two. One of them, because Bag Milk was upset that he wasn't in the last intro.
The second longest serving host on this show. That's all.
One of the intros is only Bag Milk.
It is legit the most disrespectful thing I've ever seen. I am
ever.
Bad about it.
That's the most disrespectful thing you've ever seen.
More he disrespectful been, than putting a bigger statue of Jesus in another city than Rio.
Dude,
quick move.
I've known JR and Wanye since they were like 13 years old. And when they started Oilers Nation, the next person I met because of it was Bag Milk. He was like the first employee, was he not? Or one of them?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
First commenter that wasn't us. The God first person who commented on the site that wasn't us was Bag Milk.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean, shit's all up right there.
So here's the
put first him in the intro.
Here's the first intro we got, all right?
Welcome to a brand new episode of The Real Life Podcast, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Welcome to Real Life, everyone.
What is going on right now?
I think that I'm in love with Matthew Tkachuk.
Are you guys all drunk?
Every single one was not in that one.
Every single one, Bag Milk.
All right, well, out of the podcast. I mean,
you got two.
Was
more
there
chances.
Even Bag Milk in that one?
No.
Well, he was there. He was there somehow.
Just listening.
Not... I assume I was on the episode.
He would have been on the episode.
From. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want the one that's just Bag Milk then?
Oh yeah.
Redemption Island.
Here's number two. This might be the one with just Bag Milk.
Welcome to a brand new episode of the Real Life Podcast, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
I'm guessing my math is going to be incorrect. So if you're listening to this,
there you go.
Wow.
Bag Milk, I feel now I know what it feels like to be excommunicated from the podcast. Holy cow, that's damning.
All of the hours of audio, I have one clippable quote.
Let me quote the title of my third sex tape. That was brief.
Yes.
Why so short? That's what she said.
Quick intro.
Anyway, so we got new intros and
intro. Really,
our network
is there a
podcast.
Third option?
There is. You want it?
I think the only way this thing gets funnier if Bag Milk's now never on it.
Let's find out.
It's like Jimmy Kimmel always apologizing to Matt Damon.
Yes.
Welcome to a brand new episode of the Real Life Podcast, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
What was that?
Me, you guys. Oh, I get a moist mouth.
All night long, all I dream about is like the mountains in my hair. So I'm ready to do some business.
I like that one. I like the end on that one. And Bag Milk's in that one very briefly.
Getting interrupted as per usual.
Shout out our new sponsor, DoorDash.
Shout out DoorDash.
I thought those were, like, who made those? Just so I know who I'm about to disrespect as a bag milk has been disrespected.
What do you have to disrespect about those? Those are studio quality intros.
They're
the
great.
The audio quality, I mean, is that honestly what we sound like? Because that is not good.
Well, there's background music there too, so.
Oh.
I always sound great.
Yeah, you got a professional mic and a Rodecaster.
Mm-hmm.
Charles, all you have to do is get a microphone and plug it into your laptop like I'm doing.
I don't have a laptop. I'm not. I have a desktop. I have an iPad. I have a cell phone.
Desktop works too.
Yes. I'll have to bring that in my truck every Monday and every Thursday at 1 o'clock.
There you go. Hotspot it.
Well, see, now you understand the problem. Anyways, those are our new intros. We've got new intros for every podcast in the network. So that is something I need to remind myself to do.
I really thought that you were going to surprise me and Soulja Boy was going to be in them.
Again, I don't just have, like, access to budget like that. Like, I can't
You do.
So if I need $400 for anything, I can just do it and assume I will be reimbursed.
You wouldn't believe the poll I have at Nation HQ.
Okay. I'm timestamping this, and this is and coming if you get, later.
If you think about what Soulja Boy says and you smush a message together for Cameo and trick him into making a noodle ad, into doing an intro for this show, if you get him to say the Squire, you can make him say Chalmers cheated. If you can make five people feel good, that $400 bill, poof.
So you're MChuck. The way that I will put it is if one of the two people that has signing rights on the checks for ON consistently, passively, aggressively tells you something that he would like, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure if you bought said thing, you would be reimbursed.
And Jay won't like it unless you get Soulja Boy to shout him out. And then you'll submit the bill and Jay will go, Wani, Jesus Murphy. And I'll say, hey, shouted you out. And he'll go, yeah, it's fair.
And then you could just bring up something that he wasted $400 on. I'm sure there's a few.
So it needs to be like nonsensical. It needs to be like, hey, it's Soulja Boy, blah, blah, blah. Happy birthday. Chalmers cheated. Oodle noodle is delicious. This is real life. You. And if he says that gibberish, we can get like eight different things out of it.
I'm also in a way, I'm also taking a huge risk because if I pay for the cameo from Soulja Boy and he falls flat, then I'm fucked.
Oh, you're on your own then. It's James Bond rules, right? The message self-destructs.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
We disavow.
You're not somebody
who's
ever put their credit card on the up at a bar, have you?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
You don't sound like you've ever been flippant enough with your money.
Yeah, you've never used a credit card to spend the night at a bar.
No. R. Tyler.
Up the next day.
Oh. It's not my style.
That's living.
That's living.
That is living.
That's a sign of a good night, and also it's a fun adventure of trying to figure out where your wallet/credit card is.
Why would you want that though? The next day, like that, just sounds, if anything, just incredible.
It means you've lived a life.
It means you had a life the night before.
It's cost of doing business.
Cost of doing business. Right. We also have a new extra, but that'll come at the end of the podcast. Three new intros though. So hope everyone enjoys them.
We call it an extra. I always called it an outro. I'm learning so much.
Yeah, you could call it an outro actually. Extra, outro, they're the same thing. Exit, out.
No. Yeah. Ingress, egress.
Yeah, that's
a long pause brought to you by Ding Dong.
DoorDash.
That's a pretty legit advertiser. Holy shit.
Yeah, and I actually think we're going to have like a promo code with them as well. I'm not sure if it's started.
A promo code coming.
Yeah, it's coming. I don't know if it's confirmed yet or whatever, so I'm going to leave it out. But anyways, shout out to DoorDash for joining our long list of sponsors that we're very happy to have on board, like Twig and Berries, twigandberries.ca. We're expanding what we can give you through our advertising partners. Food delivered to you by DoorDash. Manscaped.com, promo code REALLIFE gets you 20% off and free shipping. Trim up your balls, all that good stuff. Lawnmower 4.0. And Twig and Berries is just going to make you look good all the time. Twigandberries.ca, promo code NATION15. Just jammed all the ad reads in right there. I wasn't kidding when I said I was going
to... Efficient episode. Your MChuck's on fire, looking to get on his vacation.
Absolutely. So I didn't want to do very much show prep today like I usually do. So I simply put out a tweet from the Real Life Podcast account that said, got any questions? New episode dropping soon. So I wanted people to basically do
ideas?
My job for me.
I'm out of ideas, question mark. Please send me questions now. Help.
Exactly. Chalmers, did you see the reply that Electronic Jordan sent in?
Yeah, I did. And I'm going to disappoint the shit out of him, because what I think he was saying was that the DFO rundown with Frank Saravalli and Jason Gregor was chocked full of what I imagine to be hypothetical trades that the Oilers could make. Was this before or after our protected list was out?
We're not even talking about the same tweet, but continue.
Oh, he just said he was looking forward to me getting rash about it, but to disappoint him, I didn't hear any of them. Okay, what is the second one?
He sent in a question of his window well.
He's got
at
two
home.
Things he needs you to do, Chalmers, this week. Like Electronic Jordan's getting two.
I didn't
requests.
See anything about no window wells.
He wants to know what the green pipe in his window well is.
This is weeping. It's a weeping tile hose. What that is it's basically like a serrated hose that's around 6 inches in diameter.
Okay.
And it goes down all the way to the very base of the house, which is the footing, the very bottom of the concrete. Then the hose tees off and goes right and left. It then wraps around the whole house, okay, and goes up all the other basement windows. It is filled with washed rock, so like 3/4 inch rock crush, you know, the stuff that people put in their flower beds.
Okay.
It's filled with that, and then around the perimeter of the house, it's covered with that for about like, you know, it's kind of angled up against the wall and the pipe would be down in the corner. Mm-hmm. And then when the dirt goes in, and what that's called is weeping tile. What that does is when groundwater gets to the base of your house, back in the olden days, people didn't have weeping tile. So what it would do is it would slide. It would go under. It's finding the path of least resistance. It goes underneath the footing. It comes up underneath their concrete floor. And then it would find any crack or any sort of void, and it would come up into their basement groundwater. When it really floods, that weeping tile takes that water, it filters it into a sump pump, which then once the float hits the right level, it turns on, kicks in, and pumps the water out of your house, sometimes into the side yard. Most of the time people just have an exit that just comes out the side of the house and then goes down to the ground and has a splash pad there. But some people have like rainwater leaders, which is an actual hose, an actual pipe that is connected to the sewer or the septic, either one of your drainage hoses. And so it then siphons that to the city. So that is what that is. So window wells are one place where if a huge rainstorm happens, that is usually where you'll get flooding. If you don't dig the window well down enough and it fills up with water, it then can come into the window. Well, that hose is supposed to stick up just below the window. Therefore, when the water gets to it, it will just start to funnel into that weeping tile. Make sense?
Yeah, I got it. I never knew that before. So thank you. Hashtag Chalmers Construction Corner. Shout out to Electronic Jordan for sending us that question.
Learning so just much today.
I actually just printed off a brand new house's full price for weeping tile as we were speaking. And it is not cheap. So anyways, just ironic. I'm sitting here looking at a quote for weeping tile in a brand new house I'm going to be building. And we're talking about weeping tile. That's fun.
I like that you thought I just was trying to tie directly into all the Oilers rumors that we got from Frank Saravalli and Jason Gregor over the last 12 to 15 hours.
Well,
I thought you were going to try and trigger me.
I bet you they wish they could talk about and explain weeping tile and DFO rundown. They're too busy breaking news.
Yeah, 100%. Frank Saravalli yesterday on the rundown, and this ties into a couple of questions that we got on Twitter when I put the call out. But Frank Saravalli, a couple of Oilers things. He says he used the word unlikely when describing Adam Larson potentially coming back to Edmonton, and said it's becoming increasingly likely that Tyson Barry is back as an Edmonton Oiler next season, which I found very interesting. And John Doe 780 on Twitter asked, assuming Larson does not resign, what are your D pairings with Barry re-signed, or would you have a different target for the right side? I'm going to just hop right out with a take on that and say if they lose Larson, I don't think they should be bringing back Tyson Berry. I think Tyson Berry should be good as gone anyways, because you have Evan Bouchard and Ethan Bear on the right side. You need like a strong defensive player.
If we lose Larson and we lose Clefbaum and we bring in Duncan Keith to plug that hole, we are in extreme peril.
Yeah, big time, big time. Like losing Larson is a huge, huge loss.
I just hope it's not. I shouldn't say not true, because I'm sure it's a game, and you know, Frank could be hearing all that stuff. But I just hope that we sign Larson.
How do we think we can lose Clefbaum and then afford to lose Larson when our D wasn't good to begin with? Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Bag Milk, you're mad about Duncan Keith. Take some of this fire and do something with it.
I don't know.
Are you disillusioned at the present?
That's how you make the intro, bro.
I am trying to book Frank Saravalli on a radio show right now, actually.
Oh my God. Are you multitasking?
Look at you go. Well, you can't. Losing Larson and coming back with Barry is such a step back defensively.
Yeah, it's huge.
But like the thing with Tyson Barry that's so interesting. He led defensemen in scoring. Why don't I value that high enough? I don't know what it is. I can't put my fucking finger on it. He's not the best defensively, but his offense should make up for it. So I should be happy that that's also a potential outcome, but it's not.
Mm-mm.
I know, it's so fucked.
Everybody gets so mad at Oilers D. Everybody's mad at Russell. Everyone's mad at, like, it's ridiculous.
Gregor thinks they might lose Russell in the expansion draft.
Well, that was the whole plan of the signing.
What the fuck? We don't have enough horses in the race to have all these dudes get picked off.
Unfortunately, we can afford to lose.
If you lose him, you bring back Cuckoo for $1 million and you save some money. Like, it's not the worst thing in the world.
We got to go shopping for someone better than Cuckoo.
Well, on your third pairing, I think Cuckoo's a perfect sixth or seventh defenseman.
Seven or eight.
I think eight's a little harsh. He had a really good year last season. Frank thinks we could lose Jujhar Kara over Tyler Benson, and that's fine. Yeah, like
I love Jujhar, but like, yeah, I just don't get it
consistently enough from him.
I'm not offended if we lose him,
especially when he's replaced by Luke Glendening in the offseason.
I wish him all the best. Don't get me wrong, but I don't. Yeah. I'm not going to cry myself to sleep.
Yeah. No.
No. So yeah, I think if I could rank like who I would prefer to lose, some combination of Russell Kara is fine with me. Benson's next on that list. The other big thing that Frank threw out was the idea that the Oilers may have protected Zach Cassian in the expansion draft because there is trade interest in him.
I'll fucking drive him to the airport myself.
I'm torn on this one because
I know
he's like Chris Russell was for the last few years, where I like the player, but I hate the contract.
He had
18 much.
Shots on net last year.
Like if he was 2017 Cass or 20 or even 2018 Cass or 2019 Cass.
We
would love him.
Yeah. I saw that protected list and I was, yeah, I think I'm in the majority. I'm never usually one. I'm not going to shit on Cassian. I love that guy, man.
Yeah.
I really, really do. I really do. But I think we saw the end of him this season. Like, I just saw a guy who I don't think can play the way he has to play anymore. And that sucks, but it happens to every player. There's all these players that I've loved in the past. So I'm not going to go on there and like say, fuck Cass and like get him out of here and all this shit. But like, I think that was a bad move, but who would I have kept?
Yeah. They're not wrong to keep him. And especially if he's got trade value, you have to keep him, but like, look who we left exposed. Like, what really do we risk losing? And nothing that's going to set the organization back.
People melted down about Tyler Benson, but like, he can't skate well
he's
enough.
He's 5 years
compete.
Into his pro career. Like,
if you think Tyler Benson is a problem or a solution, you are too deep in the trenches. You've got nothing to do with that.
Yeah, I'd be losing Benson isn't the end of the world. Like, sure, maybe he can crack it, but you're right. He's not fast on his feet, but super cerebral, right? So, like, that's got a place in the NHL if you can think the game at a different level than your competition. But, you know, not flight of foot.
You know what made me believe that we did not protect somebody that was of value, like that we left somebody exposed that was of value, was if you look at any of the tweets of all the teams that of like just people putting out the notables, almost every team had a notable but us.
Yeah, it just shows that's a problem with depth. But like, yeah, there's the some with crazy ones.
They don't think that any of that depth is notable.
Look,
and that
look at Tampa. You know,
there's some crazy ones on there. Like Vladimir.
There's so many former Oilers.
Tarasenko, you could just have for free. You know what I mean?
That's insane.
Yeah,
like, we're Landeskog not protected.
Well, Landeskog's not signed.
He's
right?
A free
so that's
agent.
Different.
Yeah, he's a free agent. So
okay. See, I don't know the ins and outs of that kind of stuff. So explain to me that. What? So if you're not protected like Tarasenko, you have a deal. But they're just not protecting you because you asked for a trade.
He's got 2 years left in his contract. So Seattle can just scoop him up for nothing.
Okay, so what's up with Landeskog?
He's a UFA.
So Landeskog is like Larson, where he's left unprotected. So Seattle can now go to him and negotiate a contract with him over the next couple of days. But if Landeskog doesn't want to sign there, he just doesn't have to sign there, and he'll become an unrestricted free agent on the 28th. Same with Larson.
But so how do they stop from selecting him in the expansion draft?
If they want to take Landeskog, they can, but he doesn't have a contract for next year, so they're taking a risk because he can walk for nothing from Seattle on July 28th. Same with Larson, right? Whereas...
That makes sense. Okay, yeah, I don't see... Yeah, that's good. Okay, I get it now.
Yeah, like it's
so
not a
when's
big deal.
The free? Wait, so when can they talk to free agents? Is it right after the draft or is it right now?
Right now.
Right now.
Yeah.
Fuck, if I was Seattle, I would... I know they were saying they're going to throw the Brinks truck at Dougie Hamilton. I would do it at Gabriel Landeskog. You want to talk about building leadership for your team?
Big time.
Oh.
But the interesting part of that is Landeskog's a winger. And when you look, like I'm looking at Gregor and Saravalli's mock expansion drafts, like in terms of wingers, Tarasenko, you can have Eberle or Bailey. You can get Jason Zucker, James Van Riemsdyk, Mason Appleton. Like, I know none of them are stars. Matthew Joseph is going to be a good forward. Alex Kerfoot's decent. They have like a pretty good collection of decent forwards they can pick from around the league. There are not very many good defensemen for them to pick from, and no one even close to Dougie Hamilton's level. Whereas with the forwards, I think you can almost piece together a group that's somewhat competitive. Whereas on the blue line, like you're getting Giordano from Calgary and then like Dylan DeMello, maybe.
So then they're kind of forced to sign him then if they want to have like bolster the defense because the picking is so...
The craziest one, and Frank Saravalli broke this story on Daily Faceoff, the Carey Price one is nuts. Like if Montreal loses that guy, like I see both sides of it. Like I think their fan base would be like largely pretty heartbroken to see Carey Price go for nothing in an expansion draft. But also as they kind of... start to lean into this young core they have with Suzuki, Kotkaniemi, Cole Caulfield, you know, Brendan Gallagher, still a good player for them, Josh Anderson. If they lose Weber for the entire season and Price goes in expansion, they would have cleared up like $20 million in cap space in a matter of a couple of weeks, which is nuts.
Aren't they, if they do that, wouldn't they take a run at Eichel?
Oh yeah, they would take a big run at Jack Eichel if they have the money. They probably have the money anyways, but if they suddenly free up another 20 mil and they're sitting there with like $34 million to spend this offseason, they'd be going hard at Jack Eichel.
Yeah, and then sign Grubauer.
And then sign Grubauer.
Trade us Jake Allen for
Mikko. There's some good names on there. They can make a good team here going forward.
50% retain, Jay?
Yeah, if we're giving away Mikko, we've got to retain some salary, and I would gladly do it.
I felt bad for Mikko for a second there because the Oilers wished him a happy birthday on social media, and the comments were just atrocious. Like, buy him out for his birthday. Next post should be about the buyout. Hopefully it's his last birthday as an Oiler, and you're like, fuck people.
You can't blame the player. You can't blame the player for signing a contract like that.
No.
If you're an Edmonton Oiler right now, outside of like Connor Nuge and Leon, maybe just stay off social for a little bit.
It's ugly a nasty place. It's a nasty place. Anyways, I don't want to lose Larson. I don't.
Oh, yeah, I don't.
I'm too emotionally invested.
He's a good Oiler. Like, he's just been nothing but a solid Oiler. He didn't come here under like the best circumstances.
He made the best
like the hall trade, but
he
he's
got to work.
Come on, Connor, whisper him.
I wonder how much pull that has.
We can't have both Klefbom and Larson, by the way, leave the Swedish All Abs team in one season. That would just be devastating.
Oh, it's too much pressure on Broberg.
60. Yeah, our abs for 60 just dropped dramatically.
We can't have it.
They brought in Phil Kessel on top of that. Ugh.
Oh.
Blech.
We're going backwards.
Who's there to swoon over?
Goodness gracious.
There was one player on Frank's mock expansion roster, Cale Clegg of the LA Kings. And I once got hit by a pitch from Cale Clegg when I played baseball as a youngster.
That sounds like a salad you'd get at a nice restaurant.
It does. But I'll never forget it. The kid threw hard too, and it hurt like hell. I got it right in the elbow. Not a lot of fun, but he might go to Seattle. Speaking of baseball, a friend of the podcast, Eric Sabrowski, who we've talked about a little bit,
throwing gas.
Oh my God, man. His numbers are unbelievable. Chalmers, your mic. That? Yeah. Charles, your beard rubs per 60 is through the roof. You're literally
shut
doing
up.
It.
It sucks too. Cause I like this pitcher of ours that follows us and that we like to talk about. So well, where is he throwing gas? Where are you seeing this?
I follow him on Instagram. You should follow him on Instagram, Chalmers. He posts highlights in his story. He just fucking throws heat.
If you Google Eric Sabrowski, you can go to his minor league baseball page and you can see his game logs. He pitched yesterday again. He got the start, went five innings, struck out five, only two earned runs, two hits. He's struck out 37 batters in his first 24 professional innings as a pitcher.
Wow. Get Soldier Boy to shout him out in the new intro.
I worked so hard on those intros and
they're really, really good.
They got shit on. Where's Soldier Boy?
No, that's not true.
Glad you guys enjoy the intro.
Hey, they're good. Take my bumper. Soldier Boy in them. Never said what you had is bad. I just said they're Soldier Boy free.
I think Tyler's got a problem.
Okay, because I want to be an even bigger fan of our boy Eric Sabrowski.
Yeah.
What team and what league is this that he's playing for?
So he's
Fort
playing
Wayne, bro.
Yeah, he's playing for Fort Wayne High A ball.
Fort Wayne, Indiana?
In the Padres organization.
The Comets?
Yeah, this dude's killer. I just looking at he just named it Heaters. This guy's fucking awesome.
The team is the Fort Wayne Tin Caps. So he'd be a tin cap.
Tin caps. Or Turner Watson.
Turner Watson, our boy.
Our boy.
Representing down in Fort Wayne.
Representing. Fort Wayne also won the Kelly Cup, I believe.
Really?
Yeah. Fort Wayne, a lot of hive of activity. Hive of professional.
High value.
All right.
There's a lot of flow in this episode, I'm noticing. Remchuk, we need you to get the flow rider back.
Yeah, it's kind of been a little bit all over the place. We had more questions
that's
on brand.
Shocking turn of events.
JJ on Twitter asked if Cassian should be dealt. We already hit on that. At Dangledump94, who's a normal on our Tuesday live show, State of the Nation, he wanted to know about Alex Killorn and Evander Kane as potential fits for the Oilers. Killorn probably not coming here because he's got a no trade clause. Evander Kane, he's very good, but I don't think I touch that guy. I'm not overly interested in bringing Evander Kane up to Edmonton.
He wouldn't do well in the fishbowl.
No, I don't think so.
He'd try to go to Earl's and someone take his picture.
He's got a bad attitude, right? Because don't his teammates right now. He's not kind
of. That's part of the problem in San Jose, and that was part of the problem in Winnipeg.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hell of a play. He had his best year this year.
Yeah, he scored like 30 goals in 50-some games. He had a monster season in San Jose, but he's making $7 million for a few more seasons. If the deal was like James Neal for Evander Kane, then yeah, like sign me up for it. That's a good trade,
that's
right?
Actually take away a headache, and you take away our headache?
For San Jose, it's like you're losing a ton of value in like the trade itself, but you're
Would you do Neal in a second for Evander Kane?
No, I would only do Neal straight up for him, I think.
And the others don't have any seconds.
Ah, yes.
Well, in 2026. We have seconds starting next season.
Nope, it's locked up.
Tied up, though.
Oh, is it locked up?
Locked up in the Keith deal. Can't trade it.
Good thing about Evander Kane is he'll always be playing.
That's a conditional second. It's a third. If we go to the Stanley Cup Finals and he plays like 25 minutes a game.
But once a pick is tied up in a conditional deal, you cannot trade it.
Cool clarification.
Oh, it'll be available to us again.
But Evander, he'd be playing hard. He's got to work for it. Like, he's broke as a joke, is he not? Doesn't all his money go to the government?
There was a story about that last year, and I don't know the details, so I'm not going to talk about it.
Allegedly, Chalmers.
When you've got 21 million U.S. remaining on your contract the next 3 years, you're tough to be broke. You're not broke.
No.
He's learned some stringent life lessons after this whole.
Maybe it's been humbling. You're right. Like, I don't know.
You can bounce back quick from that shit when you got 21 million.
If you have solid enough leadership and enough of it, you might be able to insulate and deal with something like that.
Yeah, you just send Duncan Keith to talk to him and be like, all right, settle down.
Yeah.
That's like, what Keith's here for.
I could say Giordano being able to.
They have those guys in San Jose too.
Who?
Burns, Vlasic, Marlowe. You know? Like, I worry
Brent Burns smells like cheese.
Yeah, like
he's always trying to get that damn Kit Kat in his mouth.
Yeah. How does he do it? How's he going to fit it in his mouth? Like, I'm so
that
baffled.
Clip right there, isolated, is in the new intro.
All right, there you go.
You.
Right. I don't even know. Oh yeah, Evander Kane. I think we'd pass. The original oil baron asked about Tony D'Angelo. I would also pass. I'm not touching Tony D'Angelo.
That I would pass.
90s R&B legend D'Angelo plays hockey.
He's not 90s. He's 2000s.
D'Angelo? No, he's mid-90s, man.
That's a sexy video, right? Where he just stands with his shirt on, just making sexy faces while he sings.
Darn right. Oh, yeah.
If we're doing that, I'm getting Genuine, please, because Pony is a smash. Everybody gets down to his Pony.
Oh, yeah. Genuine in those episodes of Parks and Rec is so funny. Oh, anyways.
Do you know what I watched? I started binging just like 2 days ago, and I kind of binged like the whole first season plus the first three episodes of the second season in like one sitting because it was so easy. Did you guys ever see the HBO show called Barry with Bill Hader?
Oh, no. I've watched a few of the bits. I like it.
It is so good. He's like, he comes back from Afghanistan and kind of falls like as he's in the military and kind of falls into like becoming a hitman. And so on the very first episode, he's going to do a hit and it kind of like he goes into like an acting class and he basically like nails the acting class without even knowing what he's doing. And it's awesome. So he's trying to keep these like two lives separate, but it's really, really clever. You guys would like it. And it's an easy watch. It's like 22 minutes an episode. So anyways, Kate Barry, but the real reason I brought that up is because I'm not great at math either, but it's 149 right now, and we still have not talked Big Brother, like, at all.
Frenchie is overplaying, man.
Oh, man. Yeah, we'll go. Oh, here we go. Big Brother!
The most contentious segment we do, breaking down the hit reality TV show Big Brother.
People really do not like when we do this.
We're
you either so love it right or here. You have turned off the episode already.
You
no
either
middle
love
ground.
It because you watch Big Brother or you hate it because you do not. And if you do not watch Big Brother, then I'm telling you right now, you're missing out. There's like this stigma that you have to be like that it's reality TV at its worst. It's probably reality TV at its finest,
at absolute peak of reality TV.
Peak TV because they structure it. It's like competitions, so you get to see people's competition, and the stuff in the house, it's not like Real Housewives ish. You know what I mean? It's like it's a
competition. It's not as much like it is reality TV, but you're right. Like when I hear reality TV, I think like Keeping Up with the Kardashians or like Housewives or whatever. And like that's more or less trash. But this is like a competition show. Like I'm in a pool. I have people picked that I'm actively rooting for now so I can win money.
Yeah. It's like relatable. The Bachelorette because they actually get together and do competitions and shit.
You feel that show feels accessible to you. You feel like you could be a part of it. Yeah. There's always someone in the house that you identify with, mm-hmm. and like it's
and you that's such a key point though. You see people in the house that you identify with, but you don't know how you would be, and you constantly question yourself in social surroundings that are geared like that, and you see what it looks like for everybody's worst person to come out at some point. Like right now, Frenchie is coming across as a guy who thinks he knows everything and will never be blindsided. And the worst part about that is the way that he counteracts it is
to let everybody know in a passive aggressive way.
Yes.
That he knows what's happening.
Yep.
I know what's happening. And so now he's doing it to people that don't have a clue what the hell he's talking about. And he's freaking everybody out.
And he's doing it so early in the game too. Yeah. It's like, oh man, you are the week one HOH, bro. You could have just cruised through the, oh, I just made these nominees.
Cause like, whatever.
You know what I mean? But like, he's walking room to room, opening doors and then closing them and leaving. And then
just pacing incessantly in front of people so that are having a conversation, thinking that he's being covert and
secret. Totally.
Everyone's like, saying what the fuck is this guy doing?
Teeing somebody up for an answer, taking their answer and completely misconstruing it, and then get it, and then so that you now think that you just like confirmed your bias as to what was happening.
Yeah.
And then going around the rest of the house being like, you think I wouldn't find out? I know. And everybody's just like, what the fuck is he talking about? Oh, like, this God. Is so weird,
and,
man.
And
that type of life does not live long in that house.
No, he's, no. And he is like the most easily manipulated too.
That's
like,
what I was going to say. He like, just buys everything.
He buys everything. Oh, there's a showmance. I'm breaking it up. Frenchie, we're not in the showmance. Oh yeah, you're right. You're not in a showmance. I got to change this. Fuck, I screwed up. It's like the guy... it's entertaining. I hope like
I'd say he changes his mind like he changes his clothes, but he doesn't. It seems like he wears the exact same thing every single day. He's like the only person in the history of Big Brother to wear the exact same outfit every day. But
unless all that stuff is just happening on one day and they just have so much footage from one day, man, but I don't think so. He is so aggressive this early, and I really don't get it. I just
for somebody who says they're a super fan, he clearly doesn't understand what this is like.
His paranoia is fueling all of this.
So I like I said, I'm in a Big Brother pool. So I picked fifth overall. It's a 6-person pool. Everyone gets 2 players. I got Christian fifth overall, which I felt was exceptional value in that spot. I think he could be a comp beast. And then I got Claire in the second round. And she's the
Claire's super smart.
She's wicked smart. All right. And she's laying low right now. I think I got 2 really good picks here.
Claire is the girl that we talk about in week 39. And we're like, how did she get here? She just didn't do anything. She didn't win anything.
I think
and
she'll win some mental comps.
Yeah. Hannah, too. You got to think about Hannah's super smart too.
Well, and Mary Beth.
And Mary Beth. Beth. Those three, I think, have a chance.
Respect on that name.
Anyways, I like the cast a lot.
Yeah, it's a good cast.
I don't know if they're just framing it that I did not think I was going to like the flight attendant, Brett.
I didn't
think that I was going to like Christian. You know, like just Frenchie, you don't go in there, take all the girls aside and say, I came into this house wanting to be in an all girls alliance with them.
You want to start like some kind of Charlie's Angels.
What? In the hell do you think you're doing? And they all to a person were like, why would I be in an all girls alliance that a guy started? It's like, you're trying to control. It's, he has such huge blind spots that I just don't understand if he's ever seen this show before. Cause
it's
he's
great
making
television.
Every mistake.
It's great.
Yeah, it is the best.
That's why I hope he can find a way to stay longer just to keep that crazy chaos
keep the
going.
Wild card in the house.
Yeah, but and that's what because so guys do that. That's the thing though, is like, but sooner or later you just wear on everybody that it's just not worth it anymore having that type of
if he makes it through the veto like on the block, stay on the block, he's gone.
If you guys were to pick your horse, who you lean into after 1 week?
I really like Big D, Derek Fraser.
Yeah.
I don't know why, just because he seems like he's going to become the guy who's friends with everybody. And so he'll just kind of like coast to the final three, almost like Josh did. Remember Josh? Mm-hmm. He kind of was friends with everybody. He did have a blow up. I mean, we haven't seen enough of these people's personalities to see, other than Frenchie, to see who's going to like have that, like those blow ups, who has little to no patience for like small stuff like cleanliness. Yeah. We just aren't there yet. So right now I'm basing it personally on like
how
people see how people seem to be getting along with each other, and everybody seems to like Derek.
That's why I think my guy is Xavier. I think he's doing a good job.
I like Xavier.
Yeah, he's doing
a
good job.
He's good.
Everybody seems to really like Kylan too.
When he was ironing the napkin, that was fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Everyone seems to like Kylan, but
I was gonna say
Kylan,
he's so likable.
His cry per episode right now is
his cry per 60 is very high. Absolutely.
But I can see him having some paranoia. I think I think Mary Beth. She made a
Sarah big, Beth.
Is it
Sarah what? Beth? Sarah
oh.
Beth.
Oh yeah. Fuck.
You just can't Sarah be Beth. Soft in this show. That's the only thing. That's why people like Kylan, they don't last, you know? Because yeah. You have to have that cutthroat. Hard side, but you have to be able to.
I don't know. Sarah, I think Sarah Beth has a side we haven't seen. She's clearly smart because that visual, like that was a tough comp.
Absolutely. Yeah, but
and then the fact that she showed loyalty to her team.
Yeah,
that was a very, very important moment in the show this early on.
She had to do that. Here's the other thing I noticed about Sarah Beth, though, is that when you lie about what you do, it's really hard to keep that a secret for as long as
there's like
for
3 months. People lying about what they do.
No, there isn't. Just her.
No. Hannah's lying. The guy that just got out was lying, but then he felt so insecure that he had to tell people that he was like this tech entrepreneur.
Yeah.
He told people that in the very first show. Xavier's
lying.
Yeah.
He's a lawyer.
Saying he's lying. Whatever.
Oh, so is, there's two. Frenchie's a parent, and what's her name is another parent.
Oh,
the two parents. She's lying.
Oh yeah, she is.
Everyone's lying about what they do.
There is a lot.
I like Asa and Tiffany's way of like
Tiffany.
But, yeah, I like their way of always pretending they're just crying about like the kids, but they're
that's great. That's good. I like Tiffany. Tiffany could go.
I like Tiffany too.
And I liked how she tried to call out Frenchie, like kind of pseudo there in that group, and like, well, if you know, why would you say if you know if you're not going to say?
All right. That's
why I like Hannah for that reason too, because she's a little sassy also.
Yeah.
So let's just do this because, like, honestly, we don't need to keep breaking down the first five episodes. Let's go with like our weekly, like. Sarah Beth has won that challenge. She obviously didn't take it. We know who's on the block. Like, I picked Derek as my dark horse for a while. Do you guys want to pick dark horses? Do we want to think who's going to go away this?
I didn't watch last night's episode, actually, so I don't
Frenchie's
even know.
Frenchie's gone if they can get through the veto.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to say Frenchie's going to be gone.
It's so early in the game. You got to go.
Who's your dark horse, Begmo?
Dark horse.
To go home?
No, to stay. Dark horse, like right now, I'm feeling really good about Derek. I've said that.
Derek
Sarah
F.
Beth. I'm Derek Sarah F, Beth yeah. fan.
I like the Sarah Beth pick. I like Claire. I think she's wicked smart. I think she's good.
Wanya, you got one?
I didn't watch it this year.
What?
Oh.
I've been sitting here unmuted the entire time waiting, and I'm like,
Now you know how I feel like when you talk about hypothetical trades.
I have no take. I am recording them. I'm going to bang out 10 weeks and 3 hours and slingshot forward.
That is the way to do it. Cause I find that these first like week and a bit kind of drags. Cause I still don't know everybody. And there's
exactly. I
want to
watch it all.
No, see, but I just like having something to watch late night on Wednesday, Thursday and Sunday. That's my thing. I love that.
It's the anti hockey season show. It ends right as the hockey season starts up.
Yeah. How's the golf tournament looking? Do you guys get numbers on like sold out teams or how's it looking for that thing so far?
No, we're good. I think we probably have six teams left, maybe seven, but I know
that's really good.
There's some people
sound are, steady.
They're verbally they're I think sold out if people pull trigger, but, so act fast if you can, if not bid on our, bid on our twosome to play with us, but we might also be launching another bid one too. That might be special if we can make some things work, but let's get this one sorted and move on to the next one.
All right. Also, we didn't play voicemails last episode and there's one that caught my attention since it's on the topic of new intros. This is from our good friend, the bearded Brad.
All right. What you guys need to do for your new jingle is have the cast of Nation Real Life sing the new Oodle Noodle jingle. And then have Josh Park cut a video of you guys singing it and kind of make it like the Brady Bunch style. Tyler, you're probably going to have to look that up, but there you guys go. There's a new intro. Your guys' bill is going to be in the mail. Thanks.
He's thinking about this. I respect it.
I put the newest Oodle Noodle radio ad on the Instagram account the other day, and I listened to it a bunch of times just because it's so funny to me.
It's so niche. We think it's funny, but it's basically the people on this podcast that get it.
It's, you know what though? It's translating. So we also have a an ad deal with Now Radio.
Nice.
And they asked like, hey man, like we hear the 1260 ad. It's really good. Can we put it on there? I'm like, you think
for real?
Like, I'm like, do you think your audience will get it? Like, it's, we geared it more towards like the nation vernacular. They're like, oh no, it'll work. And then sure as shit, our account manager, he's sending me tweets about what people are submitting me, like, I can't get this out of my head. I'm like, yes,
really, we should take the video, Bagmug, we should take the original Troll video then and like do some sort of funny remixy type thing and put it out as little content with that dubbed over it
if we can find it. Yeah,
Troll Lol, yeah, find.
Oh, it's easy to find, man.
Sitting on the U tizzles. It might be a Josh thing. That's funny though. I think it's great. The fact that
it's
we're
so
introducing Troll Lol to a new generation.
Well, fuck, man. You want to talk about music? Like, okay, TikTok is like educating the youth about classic, like just like classic music of our generation,
and the other way also.
Yeah, and the other, yeah, it works both ways. It's wild to hear what the youth are listening to and what they're singing, like what they're talking about. I'm like this band was big when I was your age. Like, what the hell's the going youth on? And it's TikTok, man.
Yeah, there was a trend a little while ago where all these kids were using "Alone" by Heart, and I was just like, man, I haven't thought of Heart in a long time. And
love that track.
Their whole catalog, it is a smasher of a track.
Love
smasher.
That.
That's what TikTok's the best for. That's again, though, it's the reverse is also true. I'm hip with the kids now, yeah. Tyler.
Yeah. There was something else. Oh, before we wrap up, this is important, and this deserves love on our podcast. Shout out to Luke Prokop, Edmonton product, Nashville Predators third round pick, former Calgary Hitman as well, who becomes the first player under NHL contract to publicly come out as gay. He's going to be attending his first NHL training camp in the fall after wrapping up his junior career. And if he were to make the Nashville Predators or make the NHL at some point, he could become the first openly gay player to play an NHL game. We saw this in the NFL a couple of months ago. So it's fantastic that we got this news in hockey as well. So shout out to a good local boy, Luke Prokop, for making some really, really good news.
Yeah. Very cool.
73rd overall in 2020 at the NHL draft.
So, it's a great story. He's going to have a lot of people rooting for him. And it's really awesome that he's the one to kind of take that first step here. And hopefully, you know, the floodgates kind of open when it comes to this stuff. Because I always hear people say like, it'll be a great day when this isn't like front page news anymore, right? Kind of like it was with Carl Nassib in the NFL. And the way to get to the point where it's not front page news and everyone, no matter kind of their background or sexual orientation or whatever, is accepted is you need people like Luke Prokop who are willing to be the first ones to stand up. So big shout out to Luke Prokop for making that news here today. Felt like that was a good positive way to end this week's episode of the Real Life Podcast.
Done. Well said, your M-Truck. Well done.
We're getting close to the hour mark here, which means it's getting dangerously close to me going. I'm so close to full vacation mode. And you guys saw me in Vegas when I was in vacation mode there and having some beers. So I'm going
to
be in a great
mood. Do you have a drink on hand to crack the instant you're on vacation?
Well, no, because like I'm driving out to the mountains and I have to drive. So like I need to stay somewhat responsible until I at least get out there for my first round of golf.
Where are you going? And more importantly for our listeners, where are you staying?
So I'm basically doing just like a whole golf thing. Like I'm driving out to Canmore, a couple rounds of golf in Canmore, then zipping out to Predator Ridge, couple rounds of golf in Predator Ridge. I'm spending a ton of time with my family for the first like 6 days. And then my girlfriend's parents have a place out in BC. So we're going to go stay at a place out in BC with them.
Any hot tubs there, Floody McFloods? Yeah.
No, there's nothing for me to flood, knock on wood. And I'm just going to be golfing a ton. Like I'm golfing like 6-7 times while I'm gone.
I just played the Ridge course like 10 days ago at Predator Ridge. And that is one of the best golf courses in Canada.
I'm so stoked.
Fucking beautiful.
Hitting my wallet hard, but I...
Oh, yeah. They don't give that one away.
No.
Yeah, it's a pricey ordeal, but for like a special vacation round, it's unreal. And that's the home of the summer home of Hockey Canada.
The last time I was there, Tyler, I saw Jerome McGinley.
I find it interesting, Tyler, that you're taking a vacation during arguably the busiest time in the NHL this summer.
It is such an idiot. Who actually approved you to leave during this time? That's what I'd like to know.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, he's on this podcast and he just asked a question that he could answer himself.
Huh, I don't recall. Interesting.
You're going to pull the pin on it now? You're going to tell me I got to bring the Rodecaster with me on the
road? No, he's going to do a thorough investigation of who allowed it and then chastise the
person. I'll just take all your reservations.
Yeah, where he takes offense to how he talks to himself and leaves the meeting.
I'll go on your vacation for you and document what you could have been doing.
Are
you going to clog his father-in-law's toilet too?
I am going to go. I might swing by actually Little Brick tomorrow. I might pack a microphone with me just in case. Just in case I want to slide onto a pod. Probably Oilers Nation Radio.
Aww. Come on in the bag to ours and be funny.
That might also be kind of funny. But you guys are going to have Liam with you. A nice Brit. Get something different on the pod.
Has he gotten over the Euro?
We should ask him that.
Yeah, don't ask him about that.
We are going to spend a whole hour.
No, I don't follow British culture. How are things going?
He asked me the other day, he's like, am I gonna talk on this podcast? And I was like, that's a good question, I'll keep you posted. And I haven't told
him. Do you think he knows the Royals to any degree?
You guys are gonna have a blast.
I bet he would enjoy the spring rolls meme that I made using that photo of the Royals.
I was so happy that when you made that, I thought I made it. It was such a good meme, which spoke to me so much. I thought I'd made it myself.
Liam would love it.
All right, we're going to wrap up episode 299 of the Real Life Podcast on Thursday.
Have a good vacation, your M-Chuck.
Thank you. It's kind of the first time I've taken vacation in a while, so I'm very excited to unplug. Oh, fuck off, Chalmers.
how about the disc golf? We got to repost it. It needs more love. That disc golf.
Did we post it yet?
I posted it.
No, the teaser was awesome, though.
Yep. Put it on the main account. It was Josh did a great job of taking the 3 hours of footage and finding something salvageable to display.
No, it's funny because I've watched some of this other stuff been like filmed like that, and you never think that you just think it's all boring. But once you put music to it and you splice it and you edit it properly, like a good guy like Josh can, it's fucking awesome. Montages, baby.
You want me to just play the audio? I don't know how well it'll translate onto a podcast, but there's some clips in there.
Is that the boys?
Bag milk sinks everything.
Disc golf sucks. Two fingers of root beer.
Oh shit.
Well, feet behind the discs. Been cheating the whole goddamn time. Oh, wow. Wow. That is how you do it.
There you go. Go check out the full video up on our Instagram at Nation Real Life.
Really? I'm like, I don't remember that it wasn't that. It seemed kind of just like we were just strutting our feet, kind of just walking around, and that made it sound so exciting.
Well, that's why you record. Like, we did have fun, but like initially you feel like you have to put on the whole time, but like let's just go do our thing and let Josh is recording everything. Yeah. So from that there's good shit that comes from it.
100%. All right, we're gonna wrap up this episode. You guys have fun while I'm gone. It's gonna be a fucking insane week around the NHL, so make sure you keep it locked on Oilers Nation and on Daily Faceoff. Frank Saravalli is always breaking the biggest stories. This has been episode 299. Shout out to Oodle Noodle, Manscaped, Twig and Berries, and of course the HGA Group. Head to nationgear.ca to find out more about the golf trip as well, or send us a bid of $650 or more if you want to golf with myself, Chalmers, and Jay. Enjoy your week, Oilers fans and nation citizens. We will talk again soon.
Better stay locked in your laptop while you're on your vacation.
Hell yeah.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Real Life Podcast. Don't want to miss any of our nonsense? Hit the subscribe button and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.